Really wonderful to have the opportunity to speak with you this morning, and really do love those baby dedications, and everybody just keeps having babies, so we just keep doing them. It's just good. New life, always new life. My name is Catherine. I'm one of the associate pastors here, and I have two boys, and my youngest is 5, but he's still in preschool. He'll start kindergarten next year, and he goes to preschool Monday through Thursday, and Fridays are mommy channing day, and you guys are sweet, and every week, we both, really, Friday's my day off, and so Channing and I have the day, and Channing's love language is clearly quality time. And if you can even get more specific with that, his love language is one-on-one quality time. He loves having my undivided attention. And so Fridays are usually full of building forts. They are usually full of playing games. Sorry has become a big game in our house these days. Memory, which he actually can beat me at. I don't know if that's a really good thing for him or if it says something about me, but we have a blast. But he has this one thing that he loves to do, and he loves to play make-believe. So he makes up stories, and they are very elaborate stories. And one of his favorite make-believe stories is that he is a puppy, and I get to purchase him as a puppy. But apparently, I'm not good at this game. And so he always has to coach me through it, like play by play. He has to tell me exactly what to say, exactly what to do, and then he always runs away, and I have to chase him, and then somehow I end up having to buy him again, and then somehow in the story, I morph, and I become a puppy too, and quite frankly, I'm an Enneagram 1, and so I like my life to have purpose and meaning, and playing make-believe is really fun for me. It's really difficult for me, but it's Mommy Channing Day, and so I make it happen. And I think why it becomes so difficult is because it doesn't make sense. I'm like, we just did that, Channing. Why do we have to do it again? But we're in the middle of this series where we're talking about the upside-down kingdom, right? We're looking at the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, and it's upside down. To the natural, logical mind, it does not make sense in so many ways. 1 Corinthians 1:27, the Lord tells us that he will use the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And so when we look at the kingdom, there are things that just don't make sense in our logic. They have to be understood with a different part of us. They have to be understood at a spirit level. And so when in 2 Corinthians it says that his power is made perfect in weakness, that doesn't make sense. When we're weak, we're then strong. God says that he exalts the humble. In Proverbs, we're told that the one who gives freely will become all the more rich. What? In Matthew, in the Gospels, it talks about the one who loses his life will find it. And the one who finds his life will lose it. This is a paradox, it seems. It doesn't make sense. We live by dying. We're also told in the Gospels that if anyone wants to be first, he has to be last. What? If anyone wants to be first in the kingdom, he has to become a servant of all, right? And today we're going to look again at another one of these paradoxes. We're going to look at a couple of parables. Actually, we're going to see four parables. Two of them tell us that when we surrender everything, we gain it all. Doesn't make sense. God, help us. Help us this morning to get beyond the lens of our logic. And Jesus, I ask that you would help us to see things from your perspective. God, would you open wide our spirits that we could walk in a new way in your presence and in your kingdom, and that we could be good stewards of your kingdom and its establishment here on the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've got your Bibles, please turn to Matthew 13. We've got 7 verses today that we're going to dive into and take a look at what they mean. Like I said, there's 4 parables. The last one is kind of a sub-parable. It's looking at it. If you understand these parables, then this is what you're like, and this is how you rightly handle the kingdom of God. All right, we're going to start in verse 44, and we're reading just down to 52. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and he bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the close of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 51. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. Okay, we're going to go back, and we're going to start actually in the third one of the fish net, because I said the words weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I'm pretty sure that's where all of us get stuck. We hear that thing of weeping and gnashing of teeth, and we're like, oh, man, did he have to include that in there? I thought the gospel was good news. That doesn't sound kind. It doesn't sound just. It doesn't sound fair, it seems. But we need to understand that actually it is the good news. The good news is that Jesus came. And he made a way. He came and he made a way that we could enter into a place of eternal glory and joy and relationship with God the Father. He made that available for us. So that now that there's a choice, there's a way out, there's a way away from that other option. That is the good news of the gospel, that he made a way. You see, Jesus came, the King came, and we know that he's coming again. And in between, there is this span of time where we, as ones who are stewards and followers of the King, have a rightful authority to establish his kingdom here on the earth until he comes to reign in fullness again. So this is actually the good news. And the parable with the fishnet, it means that the kingdom is going to touch and cover and infiltrate so many people and so many aspects of society. It's just not all are going to receive it. But it is our very great privilege that we would be ones that in the gap, in the in-between time, it is our work and it is our delight that we would bring his kingdom here. And we have to keep in mind the weeping and the gnashing of teeth because there's an urgency. There's an urgency. Church, we can't just sit around and twiddle our thumbs. We have a mission. God has set in our hearts eternity, and we have to share that with the world. And it is our privilege and our delight. This is why we do church, because heaven and hell are reality. That's why we do church. That's why we gather together. It's why we come into this place that we would be filled and encouraged, that we could go out and affect the world around us. And that leads us really into the last little section here, where it talks about the master of the house, who brings about what's old and what's new. And so when he's talking about the master of the house, we're not talking about somebody who just lives in the house. He says it's the master of the house, somebody who owns the house. As believers, we're owners of the house. As believers, it is our right that we would live in and dwell in the house of the kingdom. And as we invite others in, we must have within us this thing that is old and treasures that are new. We need to be firmly rooted, planted, secured in the knowledge of the kingdom, in the truth of the kingdom, in the fullness of the gospel. We need to have this word buried deep inside of our hearts. We've got to have this like knit into the fabric of our being. And then, because this isn't just words on a page, but because this is alive, and because we have relationship with the Father, and because knowing the truth isn't just this thing of ritual, but it is relationship, that from this place we manifest the truth of this gospel, so that people will look at us and they will see the fruit of the kingdom in our lives. They will see the fruit of the truth of this word coming forth out of our lives. So where we can say from the word of God that he gives us peace that surpasses all understanding, well, we need to be living embodiment of that peace. That is, again, it is our great privilege that we would not just talk about it and quote scripture, but that we would be a representation of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we would be attractive to the people around us, not because we're trying really hard, but because we have been transformed into the likeness of Christ, our Savior, from the truth of his word. The kingdom is supposed to be like soil, not cement. It's a place for us to grow, to develop, and to continue to grow. Man, we cannot afford in this day and time to have stories from 10 years ago of how good God is. He's good today. He's good right now in this place. And we need to have a testimony that is alive in us. We need to be able to tell people what it is that God is doing in our lives right now. Because it's relationship, and he wants to continually fill us and fill us and fill us again. You know, what freed me yesterday might bind me up today. We have to continually be chewing on the fresh things that the Lord is imparting to us. It doesn't mean that truth changes, but the manifestation of that may change. I remember years ago, before, as I was beginning in ministry, when I thought this gig was like a job and not a profession for me, I remember the Lord speaking to me, and he said, "Catherine, I want you to wait for doors to be open for you. Wait for the doors to be open." And I did. And it was hard sometimes. And then a couple years ago, I heard the Lord say, it's time to push open some doors. It's the season has changed. The truth didn't change. I was a daughter, and he affirmed me, and he loved me in that place of saying, I need you to wait. That's all true here too, but he's saying, but the season has shifted, and now it's time for you to lead and not just wait. It's time for you to press through and push into my kingdom. So what freed me yesterday could bind me up today. I have to have a living word of God continually ministering to my heart and my soul and my spirit. The kingdom is not something to be observed and studied. It is. That's what we're doing here. But really, it's an invitation into experience. The kingdom is something to be applied, lived in, pressed out. And so when we look at those first two parables, three powerful verses in Scripture. Let me read them again. Parable of the hidden treasure in verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and then covered back up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and he buys the field. The parable of the pearl of great value. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and he bought it. You know, the only difference the only real difference that I see is that one was looking and one was not. The treasure, that guy, he just got lucky. He just stumbled upon the treasure. Just like some of us were never looking to meet God, but he just popped up in our way one day. The pearl, the merchant who was in search of the pearl, he was looking. He was searching. He was going after the pearl of great price. He was looking for it, just like some of us, right? There was this thing inside of us, and we knew that there was more meaning and more purpose and more value somewhere. And so we searched, we looked, we turned over everything to try to find that thing of value that is the kingdom. You know, the hidden treasure, this is a day where there's no safety deposit boxes, okay? And the land would, there was war all the time. And people would, this was not an uncommon thing, that somebody would take their treasure and bury it. And very often, it would be forgotten, or it would be lost. Or again, like I said, because of so many wars, the owner of the treasure would die in battle, and the treasure would be lost. The pearls in this day and time were like diamonds for us now. And the divers who would get them, they didn't have masks or snorkels. They didn't have any kind of modern technology to help them find the pearls. And so these men would weight themselves so that they could walk out into the sea and sink to the bottom and frantically search blind to find the pearl. Many died in the hunt to find pearl. So the price for just any pearl was very high. But this pearl must have been like none the merchant had ever seen before, because he traded all that he had ever acquired to gain just that one pearl. In both stories, the men gave everything to gain the prize. They gave everything to get that which they had found. And as I've been praying this week, I felt like what the Lord said to me was, I'm not asking my people to make little adjustments here and there. I'm asking for everything. I'm asking for everything. I don't want them to tweak their lives, to open up a few extra minutes for me here and there. I'm asking my people for everything. And you know, as you hesitate to say that, because often, you know, often when we pray, we're like, God, let everybody just take one more step. Let everybody take one more step closer to you today. And you know, God is so very faithful. Every time we take one step, he opens up a floodgate of something new for us. We take one more step, he opens up a new floodgate of new things for us. He is so very faithful with every step that we take. But I do think that it's a new day and it's a new time. And he's saying, I'm calling my people to a new thing and I'm asking for everything. I want a people who are so surrendered, who at any cost would follow the word that I've placed on their lives. At any cost would serve me, would obey me, would listen to my voice, would seek my face and know my heart. At any cost would they do it. I went to conference. Dwayne White, many of you know Dwayne White, he comes here and visits about once a year, and he had a network conference, and it was really powerful, it was really good. All of it was. But there was this one thing that stuck out to me, and I feel like I've repeated this story 100 times. I just had a birthday this week, and just like that, I became that person who repeats my stories incessantly. Just like that. It's like I just got old like that. And honestly, I think I had to repeat it 100 times for me to realize that the Lord was trying to do something in me. I kept trying to apply it sort of outward, and it was really for me. And what it was is, over the last couple years, I've gotten to know a young lady who lives in Sealy, Texas, actually, and she's part of Dwayne White's network, not part of his church, but I knew that she was a worship leader, but she's super meek. She's like really unassuming, reserved, quiet. You know, just meek. And over the course of the weekend, I had the opportunity, she led worship a couple times, and it blew me away how powerful she was. It so shocked and surprised me. I mean, the first time that she sang, I just kind of stood there dumbfounded, like, are you kidding? That sound is coming out of that lady? It didn't compute for me. And I remember looking at Sarah like, really? and I believe what it is the Lord is saying to us today, to me today, he's saying, it's time to rise up and show people what's really inside of you. It's time for the church to step up to a new level. It's time for the people who work with you to understand that there is a well of life and power that is flowing from your heart and your mind and your life. It is time for you to rip the cap off of that thing and let the world around you know the power of the kingdom that is alive inside of you. It is time for the church to surprise people. We are not to just be a little tide pool anymore, but it is a day where we are to make waves of his kingdom crash over the lives of people. We are not called to just be nice. We are not called to just be morally pure, but we are called to surrender everything that we might gain everything and live in a different way, in a different place, in the reality of the kingdom. And I know it might feel really overwhelming, and it might feel like I don't even know where to start, and I don't know how to do this. And I think that's the whole point. I think God wants to overwhelm us. He wants to overwhelm your doubt, and he wants to overwhelm your fear, and he wants to overwhelm your depression and your anxiety, and he wants to overwhelm your pain and your hurt. He wants to overwhelm us, church. He wants to overwhelm us with his goodness. He wants to overwhelm the people that you work with his kindness, with his compassion, with his healing power. He wants to overwhelm our worlds in every way. The Apostle Paul says it best. He says, I count it all as loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. If we were to take every good thing that we have in this world, everything that's wonderful and good and awesome, if we were to take it and make a pile of it, it would be trivial in comparison to the greatness of knowing Jesus Christ, our Lord. Last week, I was just moderating, and I felt like I had this word that many of us had just stumbled into 2019. And I had a lot of people say that really resonated with them. That you've just kind of, it's like 2018 ended and then you just kind of like found yourself in 2019 and you can't quite catch your footing. You can't quite find your ground. And I really believe it's because we're not to walk in the same way that we did in 2018. He's calling us to a new place. He's calling us to something that is higher and richer and so, so very wonderful. One more thing from this passage, and then I have Ashley, if you're here, you can make your way on up. In the first parable, the man finds the treasure, and then it says, in joy, in his joy, he goes and he sells all that he has to buy the field. In his joy. Walking in the kingdom, surrendering everything, is not this painful exercise of becoming religious. It is a journey of joy. And I believe that the more that we see the kingdom in fullness, the more that the veil is taken from our eyes and we see the goodness of God and we see the fullness of Christ's sacrifice for us, the more that we're able to see that, the more it becomes no question. And the more we can surrender it all, we can lay it all down, we can give it all to him in joy. We have to recognize that in both of these parables, the men would not have gone and given away everything if they didn't first see that the value in the treasure was greater than all they had previously. The merchant would not have sold all that he had to gain the pearl if he did not know the value of the pearl. When we see the kingdom in fullness, we will gladly trade in all that we have for all that's his. And this is a get to. It's not a have to. I think that's a good indicator for us as we're walking with God and following Him. When our internal dialogue feels like a have to, something we're not seeing clearly. We haven't quite gotten it yet. But when I get to partner with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as His daughter and His servant, when I get to do that, then I'm walking in a place of revelation and truth and life. We don't see, when it's that, we don't see everything as demand that then produces stress and pressure and But it's all right. A couple weeks ago, is Ashley here? It's okay. A couple weeks ago, at Healing Night, I was praying for somebody, and this happens all the time, so I encourage you to pray for people a lot. I was praying for somebody, and something came out of my mouth that I was like, that's for me. It happens all the time. And so I was praying for somebody, and I can't remember exactly what I said or who it was or what the situation was, but I felt like the Lord said, it's time for you to stop managing your life and start living your life. And I was like, oh, man, I'm going to take that. I'm going to take hold of that in 2019. I'm going to stop. I don't want to be in control anymore. I don't want to have to manage everything. I don't want to have to feel like I've got to keep all the balls going all the time and I've got to do all the dance and all the whatever. No, I just want to live. I want to live right in the middle of His kingdom. I want to know what He's doing. Worship team, why don't you guys come on up? So this morning we sang a song, Raise a Hallelujah. Ashley, you're here. Come on up. I'm sorry. Look, you're fine. So Ashley's going to share a testimony of what God's done in her life. That's all I'm going to frame it with. This is Ashley. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. This Hello. Is good, guys.
Thanks. Okay. So about, 6 years ago now, we had our first.
Hold it right.
Hold
there.
It up. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. We had our first baby, a little girl, and it took us. We tried about 3 years, my husband and I, to have a baby. And we tried everything. We went to 5 or 6 doctors, 2 specialists. We did hundreds of rounds of artificial insemination, 2 rounds of in vitro fertilization, and just nothing was working. We went and talked about adopting a baby. We talked to people overseas about adopting a baby, and just nothing was working out for us. The only thing that we hadn't looked into was surrogacy, and the person who always kept popping up in my mind was Becca Sly, and I'm sure you know her husband and her, JJ. We had been friends a really long time, and I knew that she would be an amazing person to carry our baby. And so I emailed her and explained everything, and we laugh now that I sent an email about all this, but but when you have been through so much infertility and heartache and you don't want to get caught up in the emotional, you know, aspect of it sometimes. And I didn't want her to get emotional and make a decision based on that, because that would be such a big decision for her and her family. So I emailed her, and she called me back, and we set up a lunch date. And that was the first time that I had ever prayed before a meal out in public. I grew up in church, but that was something that you didn't do. You didn't really show your faith out in public or talk about it with anybody. So that kind of started the change of path in me. And then, so from that date, we set another dinner date. And the day that we were supposed to go to dinner, my husband and I had a doctor's appointment at the fertility specialist to talk about surrogacy and the next steps. And I got busy at work that day. By the time I had picked my husband up and we got over to Charlottesville, we were about an hour late, and I had never, ever missed an appointment and not been able to see a doctor over there. Like, we had been hundreds of times to this doctor, and I was just so angry at myself and so disappointed. And so I went to the dinner that night with Becca, and she read some amazing Bible verses to me. And we prayed, and she said that her and JJ had talked about it and that they really felt that I should be the one to carry my child. Sorry if I get emotional. So that evening, I left that dinner, and She had asked me at that dinner if I would come to a healing Sunday that coming Sunday. This was like a Tuesday, and this was at JJ's dad's church, and I said, of course. I had nothing to lose at that point, and we had done everything that we could. So from that day in, I was completely... I had given my life to Jesus that day. Oh, sorry. So that Friday, the derecho hit. And I'm sure a lot of you remember that storm. It was a massive storm that pretty much everybody lost power. Trees were down everywhere. The only church, and I'm not even exaggerating, the only church that was open that Sunday was Greatest Freedom Ministries. And my sister came with me, and I had to get ready. I had to blow dry my hair with a generator because we had no power. And there was literally nothing stopping me from getting to this church service. The roads were terrible, and I don't even know how that church had power, but they did. And so when I got called up, when I went up to be prayed over, JJ's dad, who knew nothing of our situation, started praying about the woman who had touched Jesus' robe who had the blood disorder. And that's exactly what I had. I had a blood disorder. I left that Sunday, and I was just blown away. Like, there were just no words. 5 days later, I was just feeling off, and I went to take a pregnancy test, and it was positive. And I can't even describe to you the feeling. I had literally been trying to have a baby for over 3 years and had never had a positive pregnancy test. So after I called my husband and told him, I called JJ and Becca, and they, of course, were ecstatic. And they were living with JJ's parents at the time, and they went and told Pastor Carl, and he said he already knew. He said he knew I was pregnant the day I got prayed over.
Yeah,
God is so good.
Is that not the best news? Is that not awesome? This is the kingdom. This is the kingdom. This is what we have access to. Our God is a healer, and he redeems, and he makes whole, and he brings life. And Ashley, how many kids do you have now?
3 now.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
So this wasn't just like this one time deal, but she now has 3 children. She's dedicating her 3rd in second service. This is who our God is. And listen, if that today, if you're in that very place and you're saying, well, I've been trying, or I've been waiting for my breakthrough, I've been praying, I've been asking, then let the power of this testimony prophesy over your situation today that God is alive and he is working to redeem your situation and he is working to bring life and fullness and joy over you today. We're gonna end, we're gonna sing a song. The Raise a Hallelujah is the second song. I'm obsessed with this song right now. I'm completely obsessed with it. And it actually was written by David Helser, Jonathan David Helser. And it was at a time where somebody on their team, their child, it's like a two-year-old little boy, somebody on their team, he had gotten like salmonella really, really bad, and he was very sick to the point of death. And Jonathan David Helser one night receives a text from the father of this little boy, and it said, I don't know that he's gonna make it through the night. It's that bad, it's that bleak. And from that place, this song was birthed. So you set your phone down and you have a choice. You can respond to the monster of fear that's in front of you. You can respond to what feels logical, or you can raise a hallelujah in the presence of your enemies. You can raise a hallelujah until fear loses its grip on you. And so this morning, I want us to sing this song in faith. Sing this song as a declaration over 2019. Sing the song as a declaration that God is moving on your behalf, that the kingdom is coming, and that it is our great joy to establish it here on this earth. Ministry team, come on up. Listen, if you're here today and you have never even consider giving your life to Jesus, it's worth it. It's worth it. It is the best decision that you'll ever make. And in laying down your life, you will gain more life than you could have ever imagined. So I invite you today, if you want to make that decision, it would be our great joy and honor to stand and pray with you. So please come forward at the end of the service. Make that commitment today. And if right now you're in a place and it's hard for you to sing a hallelujah, if it's hard for you to raise a hallelujah on your own, I want to invite you forward and let the team raise that hallelujah on your behalf. Let the team raise a hallelujah and just watch as things shift in the spirit over you. All right, I'm going to pray for you. Church, I love you. God, we love you so much. God, I thank you for what you've called us to. I thank you for what you've called us into. I thank you, King Jesus, that you made a way that we could live in the kingdom right now. God, would you empower each person by the filling of your Holy Spirit that they would go out and be ones who plant the kingdom everywhere they go. God, would you teach us how to walk in 2019? Show us who you are more and more and more. And God, let us be transformed into the likeness of Christ himself. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed, and you may come forward for prayer.